What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The action is I'll probably go a little slower than I went during our run-throughs, mainly because I realized I can't sing that fast.
Okay, good. I'm just following you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Caitlin Cannon, and I'm happy to be at Al Spirits and Music on Sunday, since Al Spirits and Music is closed, and we've turned the liquor store here into a venue for concerts and podcasts, and I'm gonna play a couple songs. This is the first one I'm gonna play with my friend Ham Bagby over here. It's called Love Addict, and it's spicy. Ready? On the door of your hotel room, nothing but a jacket and some fuck me shoes. I knew it was on. I heard you say, ah, ooh, ga, ga. I knew you were gonna tear your way into me like a present on Christmas Day. I know all about the consequence of getting into bed with you. My heart is saying, I don't need that shit. All of my body is saying, I do. Babe, I think that you might be the best drug in Tennessee. I don't care what I gotta do to have it. I am your love addict. Sometimes I think nature has got it out for me. Why can't a woman just get to fuck? One night together, gotta fall in love. So hard to find a good man over 40. I know you're lying when you say that stuff. I just got excited, you get it up. And I'm matching the drapes to the furniture. And I'm picking out 1,000-count threads. And you're probably insane. Thank you. I was like, maybe I'll keep going. Cool, fun jam. So that was, like I said, maybe one of the spicier songs I'll do this on this Sunday morning. I was just thinking about being from singing that song about the best drug in Tennessee, because I live in Nashville now, but I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. It's where I was born. And my brother got in trouble when he was 17, and now he's 52, and he's in prison right over there.
Somewhere in the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of Birmingham. I go there often, but I don't know where I am ever, because I do not know how to read a map. But I know I'm close. But I also know that they've shut down visitation. Otherwise, I would try to have seen him on this trip. I always try to, like, make a visit happen. So anyways, this is a song that I wrote for him. Obviously, he's been in prison a really long time, so I took some liberties with the last verse to make my point. But when I told him I was going to write a song called Waiting, he said, don't make it about me getting out. Make it about his high school sweetheart, who he's been in love with since he was 15. So that's like a long time, 3.5 decades, to be in love with someone who's not in prison with you. So the song's called Waiting. We were only 15 on the school debate team. I wore a tie, had a face full of braces. You had holes in your jeans, safety pin earrings. Got tired of one side of your hair, you just shave it. I'd never seen a more beautiful thing. Said when you're sick of that so you're dating, I will be waiting till things are less complicated. Just waiting. What else would you do for an angel? In a couple of years, cocaine and cheap beer. They gave me my pills, a $10 bill. My teeth are half rotten, my hair it's all gray. I didn't know where to call home, so I bought these cheap flowers to put on your grave. And I'm gonna spend my days making amends, so they'll let me come see. Heaven to sound so good on that. I love it. I like it that you're like, you're a little scared because you don't know what you...
No, I'm fine. I just don't.
That's the best, though.
You didn't see the mistakes I made.
I like it to sound a little, you know, I like it. I like to sound a little in the moment. No, I love playing with you, Ham. Thanks for sitting in. So I played that song at the 38 Songwriters Festival, which also happens in outside of Alabama, just outside. It's like Panhandle area,
okay.
Gulf, I guess. I played it, and Jennifer Steele, who runs that festival, she said, "Do you want to do a songwriting program?" They had an art program, but they didn't have a songwriting program at the prison in Walton County. And so I started doing this songwriting program, and I created it. And now we've done it for 3 years, and I've trained 8 other people to do it. And we go in for 2 weeks, and I work with the guys for 2 weeks. And then at the end of 2 weeks, we have a concert. Well, they're like the hardest working. My class is very hard. It's like, I don't know why I'm hard on them like I am. I think it's because like they're up for it, you know? Like they just want you to, I know we're doing a podcast afterwards, but sometimes my song intros are a little long. I think it's because the first time I went in there, they were like so hungry. So it's like, if you raise your they want someone to have an expectation of them for them to meet, you know? It's like, I think you just get so sick of not being believed in at all, you know? And so this one kid, Tony, he had the soles of wearing like white shoes like this, probably not Adidas, I don't know, whatever you get in the prison catalog. But they were so old and falling apart that the soles were sewn on. What is this part of the shoe called? The body? I don't know.
Yeah.
The sole was sewn onto the shoe with like dental floss.
Oh wow. And he had like done it himself.
He needed some new shoes real bad. But anyway, he comes to class like the day before the final concert. And he's like, everything I read is trash. I'm nothing but an addict in it. Criminal. And I was like, thank you so much for that inspiration. I think I'll make a song out of that. But it led to a really interesting conversation on who somebody is on paper, because it's true that who he is on paper is not a good person. But they come to class with all of these songs spilling out of these composition notebooks, you know, and so who he really is on paper.
Yeah.
Is evidenced to me, right?
He's been failed by the system.
Yes. Yeah. And he's evidenced who he is on paper by working, by doing the work, mm-hmm. you know? So I actually wrote this song called Criminal. So there could be another written record of Anthony Corrado. The song is called Criminal. Thank you. just see a miracle, the exception to the rule, and maybe you don't save the world or save a million lives, but it's worth saying. It's worth saying you are saving mine.
Because he goes no, and then I said, huh, must have been something we did in the South, even though he's from Virginia. I'm from further south than that.
Yeah.
I said the labels were made out of this cool like styrofoam paper, and we used to like shred it. And he said, oh yeah, the little keg looking bottles of RC. It's like the he said styrofoam brought the memory back. It was like that styrofoamy paper.
Yeah.
And you could peel it off, and it was so satisfying. It'd be like, and you peel
it
off.
Yeah, I remember it.
And then after you peeled off all the ribbons, you could peel the whole thing off, and then you'd stick it in the bottle.
I remember it from summer camp, I think.
Oh, that's nice. I went to summer camp, too. It's a privilege.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And as you can see, we got somebody who's been on the show several times. We got Ham Bagby here. And Ham is a big part of setting this up. He had a friend who was touring the area, and he reached out. He was like, I think she would be great for it. And, man, great set.
Thank you
so much. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, happy to be here. This is awesome.
So, like, you shared a little bit on, you know, your set about, you know, where you're from. Of Huntsville area.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Man, the memories are so blurry now. But I was born in Huntsville. My parents got divorced when I was 3, and they were both remarried by the time I was 5. My dad moved to Hot Rock, Tennessee, so that's when I started like splitting my time. And I was in a performance arts school called the Academy for Academics and Arts, and I was going to be an actress. And they did use me as the kid and all the Von Braun Civic Center plays and stuff like that. And I, I don't know. I what was the question?
just growing up
like
in Huntsville.
I'm going to tell you my life story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ended up leaving when I was 13, 14, I guess it was 13. Whatever age you are when you start freshman year of high school, that was like when my stepdad got a job transfer and we moved to Durango, Colorado. And then I didn't end up coming back to the South for like a long time. I was like shocked when I moved to Nashville that it was only 2 hours away from Huntsville, because I was like, how did I not know this? Like, I didn't have to go all the way around the world to end up in Nashville. Could have just...
You know, I mean,
gone like, 2 hours up the road.
And like you said, I know it was blurry, and I mean, you were young, and you were moving around, but just that scene and what Huntsville has done in just, I would say, the past decade is incredible.
I believe this is true. I know that they have a burgeoning music scene there, too, which I would love to be more get into. But, like... Since I was in the theater as a kid, I was like, it was weird because, you know, half of my family was played for maybe one team, I guess you might say, or had a certain rural lifestyle too. Like my dad lived out on a farm, you know, and it was like, there was so much pride in like not having a shotgun for your alarm, you know. There's like there's a lot of charm in that in that part of my life too. But then I was exposed to all of these arts, and it was like the free thinking society in Alabama that wasn't, it was renegade, you know, to be like a free thinking person in some ways. And I didn't really come to understand the distinction until I got older, you know, and got kind of away from it and came back and realized, like, oh, there's still lines in the sand, you know?
I mean, just take, like, this concept, you know, the reason this is a dry county, but this is a wet town within the county.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's blue laws. You know, we're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're not going to sell alcohol on Sunday here. And I'm not complaining about that. I get it. It's the culture. And so, I mean, that birthed, like, you know, the name of the store and also, like, Closed on Sundays music series. It's like, well, what is it? That's exactly what it is. We're closed on Sundays, but hey, we have a listening room kind of experience that you can come by and hang out. Just bring you a chair.
Yeah. No, I think it's so, well, for one thing, I think it's so important, you know, mm-hmm. and I also think it's just really fun. And like, you kind of still got to fight for your right to party a little bit, you know?
It does. It does kind of feel like sticking it.
But the thing about Alabama and the South, though, is that I feel like almost anyone I've ever known or met, or maybe it's just in the water down here, right? But, like, if you can find the loophole, that can be appreciated by everybody.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's wild because, you know, 3 o'clock on a Sunday, or sometimes we'll do like a 7 or 8 o'clock show. Just kind of depends on the weather, really.
Right.
Or whatever the musician that's coming wants to do is like, do you want to play in the afternoon or you want to play at night? Because, you know, some people is like, dude, my vocal cords ain't, I do nights. I'm like, okay, we'll do nights. You know, I get it. It's cool to see like the liquor store parking lot fill up with cars and like people are breaking their necks driving by. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah. And but, it's closed on Sunday.
Yeah. We're not.
We're not breaking any laws. Mm-mm. Nope.
Just using a space.
Yep.
But performative arts, and then I wanted to kind of like open it up to like how you and Ham met. But performative arts, theater, seeing a lot of different art, like music, how, when, where.
Shoot.
We met through Mamie. So
yeah. Mamie
Lou. She's the glue that holds so many people together.
And I met Mamie Lou at a songwriting competition.
Yeah.
And she had a really awesome song that Tom, he's not a judge, he can't judge it, but I think he would have picked her song. Actually, I went back. I wasn't competing against her. I went back to just pass off my crown. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I was in Texas. I was like, I'm going to go down to that songwriting competition I won and get some, you know,
get some accolades.
Yeah, yeah. Get some like
street cred.
Yeah, or, you know,
pass the crown.
Yeah, totally. Like I should have somewhere to be, but I don't. So I'm going to go do that. And I met Mamie there, and she probably would have won it if it had been up to the guy who runs it.
Yeah.
But, and then Mamie, who's also just like, I was in her barn, and she was doing a record
For Alma?
Yeah, was it for Alma?
She's working on her own stuff, too, which is still not seeing the light of day.
And
she's
Ham,
such a good writer.
Yeah, she is. And Ham was, she also just like, she's very like sensitive to the creative process. Like I think she's very talented, and Ham was playing on her stuff, and he was just I liked his style, and that was cool. Yeah. So then I don't know. I've seen you a few times since then.
You played that D show.
As much
show.
As I've seen anyone else.
Played a show with D's with Alma too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Remember that? Yep. Did you open that show?
I played with him.
Okay. And you opened that show.
I did basically the same thing I did today. I just don't kind of know. I kind of don't know the songs, but I'm gonna go for it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I like it that way. This is to be loose. Keep everybody a little on edge. Keep everybody in the moment.
Yeah, keep them on their toes.
Yeah, we don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I like that. Like even like with the recording the 3-song set, you know, people ask straight run cuts. Hey, I prefer a straight run, and I prefer it if you mess up, just don't tell nobody.
Right.
Don't show it.
Hey, I think we did. Or
that's
I did.
How I do everything. Yeah. I just make mistakes and nobody knows. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the number one rule of it, right? It's like nobody would have known unless you gave it away.
That's rock and roll.
Well, just kind of back to like Mammy, like what part of the country were y'all in when y'all met?
We were in Nashville. Like outside of Nashville in Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay. And how long ago was that?
That was a couple of years ago at this point, wasn't it? A year and a half.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
gear and change?
Because she doesn't live on that farm anymore.
All right.
But there was a big tobacco barn there, and the ceiling was, what, 50 feet in the air? And
yeah.
It smelled like tobacco. But it sounded cool. Dirt floor, and it sounded really
cool.
It
sounded great. Ooh. Yeah. I know she's like, I'm looking, that's funny, this podcast will be about Mamie.
Yeah, let's just do a podcast about Mamie.
You could.
And then she can come here and talk about us.
Yeah, she should come here.
Open invitation.
But
you have to bring a friend, though, and just keep it running.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a good idea. Well, just in case that does happen, I just talked to Mamie, and she informed me that she rescued her family from a burning house.
Yeah.
And the barn burned, right?
It was a different farm, but the house burned, and she got everybody out.
But she's looking for a new. She called me. She said, "I'm looking for a house with a tobacco barn."
Yeah.
So she can make the music. And I don't know how
she
easy
did.
It
she
is
did
to,
feel like that was kind of seminal to the process, but I don't know how.
That it has to be a tobacco barn or just a barn?
I don't think it has to be a tobacco barn. I think it's just the high ceiling of the room and the...
I think she's cracked some code there, though, because it does sound great.
Oh, yes. Oh, those recordings sound fantastic.
Yeah. I would like to make a record that way.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like to see happen around here, and I've seen it, like, in different parts of the country, but, like, take a church building that is no longer a church, like the congregation, it just died out. I'm not being ugly.
Sure.
But yeah. Now you have this building.
They just quit believing.
They didn't multiply.
Right.
And now you just have, like, vacant buildings. I mean, just from, if you were on Highway 82, just taking it back to Mississippi, I mean, you would drive by three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And every time I drive by them, and I was like, I would love to have that as a music venue.
Totally, and also just like a space, because the light's so great, and the stained glass, and just, I don't know, the ghosts and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know, abandoned, huh? I was on this drive, because I come down, like I said, I don't know how long I'm going until I start,
coming
here.
Where was you coming from, Texas?
Nashville. I was in Austin yesterday.
Okay.
But I went... I flew home on an airplane. Okay. I went to bed in Nashville. I woke up and I drove.
Okay.
Down I-65.
That's so wild.
Nah. I mean,
it's
probably
lot.
Not ideal. Like,
no, it's great
for people in their 40s.
No, I mean, I love doing crazy,
you
know, off the wall
runs. You were
the
one who said you had a show last night until 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know.
And it was like a St. Paddy's Day thing. I thought it was going to be like, it was off the wall. You were supposed to play
tomorrow's with me. St. Patrick's Day.
I know, but they do.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
A lot of towns in Alabama are going to do like a Birmingham and a St. Paddy's Day parade on Saturday. So
totally. There used to be one in Huntsville just to bring it back full circle.
So
my
people will go out.
Irish.
So people will go out that night, but I think they get their yayas out on Saturday nights. Or people just go ahead and observe the day on the Saturday before.
So what was I thinking? Every day is Saturday to me, so I don't know.
Every day is Saturday.
That's not. I mean, every day is Sunday for me.
Every day is Monday.
Yeah.
Every day is...
I got a little Garfield.
Oh, I worked yesterday, too, so I had a...
Full plate.
Yeah. It was a long one.
During the three-song set, like, and I appreciate you doing it, was, like, sharing a little information about the song and where it came from. Just like with your songwriting process, like, early beginnings, and you could take whichever song you would like. It could be a song that you shared earlier, or it could be the first song you ever wrote, but... just for the process out there and those, I mean, who are trying to write and maybe looking for some guidance. I mean, you mentioned, like, you teach.
Yeah.
Like, or waiting on a song, how does it happen?
Well, the first thing that because I do teach the inmates now, and I keep trying to figure out a different way to address them because it just sounds like, you know, weird to call them that when you realize... that they're such dynamic people, you know. But I always say I don't, but they tend to take everything very literally. So when I tell them I don't know how to write a song, and that's like the most important thing you probably need to know, like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, any of my songs that I have written, that I have brought, I don't, like, none of them feel like I did it. I know I did, because I remember doing it. But, like, I think that, you just, like, learn as much as you can about a thing until you get stupid about it again. And that's kind of what happened to me with my songwriting. It's like, there was a time I didn't know anything, and then I got really obsessed with Mary Gaucher, and I like followed her around the country, and it was I Drink. Mm-hmm. Speaking of songs that would go in a liquor store, that song was, she like, her, that chorus is 13 words, and how she figured out how to say what she said in such a short, condensed, like, I've
economy
never been
economy of words, right?
Economy of words, yes. And I've never been somebody who's been, you know, I use a lot of words. I rarely finish a sentence. I'll go start another one before I finish one. You know, and so it was such a relief to me to learn the craft of it, because there's just so much pleasure. I don't know, it's such a good feeling to say what you mean, because if you say what you mean, then you know what you feel, you know, and like it's such an intimacy with self, and you gotta, and so you got kind of have to want that part of it, I think, at least to write the kind of songs I write, you know.
Yeah.
Or write the way I write. Not everybody wants to write those songs. I mean, people tell me all the time, like, Caitlin, you're never gonna make a dime if you keep doing it this way. I guess that's not why I'm doing it then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's those style of songs and like the story behind them, I think, are impactful. And like, I think when it comes to social media and, you know, musicians, comedians, anybody, I think in like a performing art, especially like in this kind of economy that we're in, is not only do you have to be a musician and you're also your own booking agent, and you're also like trying to get on social media to mm-hmm. connect with people to get them to hopefully get over to a streaming platform to check you out, and you know, and then it's a whole bunch of related artists, and then you're mm-hmm. kind of getting on playlists and all this. But you know, the videos that I'm seeing now, like, you know, on Instagram, and I'm just hunting for talent. I'm just like looking for somebody. And like, it is an immediate turnoff. It's like, it's either like a subheading on the video, or like in 10 seconds, they're trying to immediately win you over by telling you exactly what the song is. I was like, leave me with something, man.
Yeah.
But like, if you're a storyteller like you are, and you're like, yeah, that's fine, but like, some things are better left unsaid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an anticipation of like when you're going to get to where you're going to get, and there's like something about someone who can write both songs that are clever and funny, and someone who can write a song that is going to make an impact and like make you feel something emotionally. And like, I think you and I both kind of want, like, walked. I'd lean funnier on my stuff than you do.
Yeah.
But well, you have, you like wordplay and you're clever a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't do.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Do the funny ones today.
No,
but no, I do. I think the funny ones are the sexy ones.
I think the funny ones are fantastic, but I mean, I also am a lover of sad songs, and I'm someone who is known for writing funny songs. If I'm known,
no, your songs are really funny. Yeah,
but let's take Whiten.
Yeah,
is you know, we're sound checking. We're just hanging out, and you share that song, and I had already like attached. I was like, wow, that's a powerful song, and so many different ways that I could have took it. And then you shared what the song was about, and like, you know, it was a little tough for me to like not shed a tear. You know,
yeah,
like,
it adds a layer to it.
That's a good thing. Well done. And
that song had already made me cry.
I don't play it as often anymore, just because, like, oh gosh, I don't know, you know, like, there's always I never know how much I can really do. Sometimes I feel like I've brought almost unwanted attention to his case, or just to him. My brother's very private, you know. Yeah. He asked me to stop writing songs about him and crush me. I was just like, you're my muse, though.
Yeah.
But I thank you, because I think, you know, just for when you're talking about, like, process and things, that is the first song, and maybe one of the only songs I've written from the perspective of someone else, where I'm going to put myself inside this person and tell the story from their point of view. And that is, it's by far the most powerful song, because it's not about my own dumb feelings. And so I think there's a real message in that, just in terms of, like, how songwriting can be powerful. It's like, a lot of people call it therapy. You know, I hate it when songwriters do that, but it is a therapeutic process. You know, it is for me. Sure. There's a catharsis in it. It can also be like a real service, because when you can be objective about the thing and tell, but you can make someone feel the way that they would feel had they not, like, people will sign my petitions, you know, and even if they don't agree with me after they hear that song. And that's when I realized that, like, oh, actually, like what you were saying earlier about when I go on, and there's all this other stuff you got to do, and there's all the social media and all this. And it's like, I found before I moved to Nashville, I was like, I'm spending so much time on everything else that isn't the songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my songs were kind of mediocre. And then I got into a situation where I decided I was just going to spend all my time on the songwriting, you know? And unfortunately, I think you do have to strike a balance. But I definitely lean more towards that now, where it's like, I'm not going to go to your party. I'm going to stay where everybody's just going to be looking over my head anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay home and I'm going to write, you know, like, we don't have time to do. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, just like with, I would say, like, Economy of Words, or even like with the verses of that song, like, first time I heard it, it was four different lives. Mm. And then, like, hearing, like, who it was about, and I was like, okay, but it also is, it's one big story. So, great job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That reminded me of what I was going to say about, like, when people introduce the song, or how, I don't remember exactly what you said that made me think of this, but it's like, if I have a three song, you know, let's say I'm going to make a three song set, anything that I say is going to be part of the story arc. Like, I think about my albums, I think about my sets as the whole thing is storytelling. You know, you got your song, and you have your beginning, middle, and your end, and your tension and your resolution. Like, we really are storytellers. Well, I think, like, anything that you say about the song should be part of that story arc. Mm-hmm. And that does not going to include streaming. You know, I'm not going to talk about that. Like, if I'm serving the song in terms of the story, I feel like it does. Sometimes it depends on the situation. Like, that song might help to have a little bit of setup if I want people to get it the first time. You know, they'll get it the second time if they listen to it again, but it's like, just, you know,
I wanted to change gears just for a second. I mean, for both of y'all, and maybe we can get to some places. I haven't been on the show. I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, mental health and also sober.
Yeah.
So, substance abuse, like, you know, sometimes I really hate it when a songwriter goes sober.
Oh, sure.
But
I have hated it.
But I get it. Mm-hmm. So, like, why'd you get sober?
Well, because Jeff Tweedy got sober. I'm just kidding. I think that's funny. You hate it when a songwriter gets sober. Like, I remember when,
That's Jeff funny. Tweedy. That's funny. That's. I feel like you're being kind of ridiculous about that, though. Like you're okay.
Yeah.
That's like, but it's so commonplace in like bar culture. Because I still play bars, you know.
Well, we're in a liquor store.
Yeah, I know, and we're in a liquor store.
Yeah, so it's like you gotta hate it when a songwriter so, like, gets sober.
Like on the nights that I don't drink, like people are like, "Why?" I'm like, "Cause my vocal cords are shredded from nights of hours of singing, so I don't need to."
I wish I loved myself enough to do that. No, yeah. I can't drink because I go to jail. I cannot drink because I cannot not. When I drink, I think I should give everyone a ride to Wendy's.
I want to
at 1 a.m. and
I want a gold medal every time I don't drink for a week or something. But I mean, like it's like it's because I don't want to lose my voice
all the way.
Yeah.
Also, then there was a spiritual component to it for me.
Okay.
So like. Yeah. That I didn't know I was seeking that. But once I got eliminated the alcohol and I was in AA and working a spiritual program, I found, I was like, oh, maybe the solution isn't to just keep pouring alcohol on this dumpster fire. And it's actually to, like, do this work, you know, which goes hand in hand with my songwriting. But it definitely, like, you know, it kind of sucks for the other parts of it. But the thing is that, like, if I had a drink with you today, mm-hmm. we'd probably have a great time today. And we might have a great time in 2 months, but then in 3 months, I'll be making your life a fucking living hell.
Yeah.
You know, and my own. And it just took me several relapses to really realize that. Like, two pretty bad, you know, relapses where I was like, okay, I really can't do this. Because I can't afford to lose a year of my life. If I was the kind of person who I could drink and like I could not gain like 400 pounds, sure. you know, if I could like still be hot and have a tan and like move and shake, like some people do, you know, some people, I don't understand how some people get to be drunk and like still be good at art. I'm better at it without it. You know.
Okay.
No, you definitely are.
And so that's ultimately the reason why I sacrificed it. Hey. What's up? You look like you should be on this camera.
Make yourself at home. Well, Fire Camino just joined us.
What's up, everybody? You want me to join or you want me to fuck off till later?
I have no preference. Whatever you want to do. Here, there's a stool.
Yeah.
Right. Just here. Actually, we'll just take this
one. I'll just take this
one. Yeah, take that one. Fire Camino, everybody.
What's up?
I don't know if he's in frame, but hey, he's among us. We're talking about just like mental health and sobriety.
I'm not the one to talk to about that.
I know. But like AA, spiritual, like, and you mentioned something, doing the work. I have someone close to me, and I have been reaching out to them for 2 or 3 months. And I was like, I'm not forcing you. I'm not, there's not a gun in your head. But I was like, I don't think you're with it. And I think, like, you have mental health issues. And I was like, I will walk with you. I will help you go to these websites. We can go to these appointments. I'll go with you. And I went. And, like, you know, there's a questionnaire, you know, it's like a survey of like, all you gotta do is be honest. And he is just checking boxes. And like, we're on the way home, and I was like, well, how'd you feel it went? He said, feels great, man. I said, I'm not wasting any more fucking of my time on this.
Yeah.
I was like, you're just gonna check a box? I was like,
yeah.
Come on, do the work.
Yeah.
Because if you did it, you might find it's like, oh, there's a chink in my armor. That's where I keep losing.
Yeah, totally. Well, they say it's insidious.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, because there's still areas of my life, like, at least I know I can't drink. I mean, I appreciate psilocybin on occasion. Yeah. But, like, there's still areas where, like, you know, you just don't know you're lying to yourself about that. You know, and like, you can't figure out how to get on the other side of that veil unless you actually go over there.
Well,
you know?
Until you really want to do it, you're not gonna.
You gotta really want to do it
yourself.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter totally. How many people love you and care, and you know.
That's true. Everyone I've known who has gotten sober is has been, you know, a year beyond it has been better off because of it.
Yeah, I had a court mandate, though. I mean, and I had a court mandate, and I had the to get the paper signed, you know. But I knew when my UAs were going to be, and so I kept drinking.
Yeah, because you knew when to stop.
Yeah, and I was great at it. I was like
You can have fun till the red light.
I was having the, knew all the slogans, I'm doing it, you know. But then they were like, we need your red blood cell count at the outpatient. And I was like, oh, what? No one told me. And I was a big, no one told me that person, you know. Like, I really did not think the rules applied to me. Because I got a DUI in Colorado, and then I just moved to New York. Because I was like, well, I don't need a license here, you know. I've got a train. And so... Yeah, so anyway, I caught up to me, and I needed to complete the terms of my sentence. And then, so part of that was going to that outpatient program, which of course I didn't think I had needed to go. But once I had a cool doctor, and he was like, I went in to get my blood, and I told him, I was like, this is the situation I'm in. And he was like, well, how much do you drink? And I tell him, and he's like, Tell them no one told you to fast today, and the next appointment you can get is in 30 days, but I need you to go stop drinking for 30 days. And so it was, I had all the sort of the AA in my head, and I was like, really, and it was very entertaining. I was in New York City, you know, all the famous people are in AA, you know, telling all their war stories
and
stuff.
It's like Anger Management, you said Adam Sandler film?
Yeah.
He's got like the totally. Tennis player.
Yeah, it's a lot like
the
that.
The anger sharks are swimming in my head.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like, it was like, it was basically just like being at the bar without the alcohol, you know, in a way. And the connection I was looking for through the alcohol was actually here. Like, I could kind of have the connection that I was, because it's weird. It's like, do I drink because I'm an alcoholic? Do I drink because I want to escape? Or do I drink because I want to connect? You know, it's like, that's the thing about, I mean,
yeah,
I love this shit. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. If I were drinking, I could.
It's like piss poor advertisement. Yeah.
And like Ham said, I am being very ridiculous, but like, those are like conversations that I want to have on the show.
Yeah,
I mean, this is awesome that you do. Yeah, like it's great.
Because there are so many of us that are sober.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we know the ones who are, you know, probably going to end up getting sober too. You know what I mean? Like it's just like these are good things to know, and it's. I feel like there should be more non-alcoholic options at bars and stuff, and I feel like there should be, you know, a little bit less of a stigma, like, oh, you're a party pooper or whatever. I feel like that's a cruel thing to say to somebody who's struggling with it every day anyway, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, but usually those people who say that are just because they feel bad about their own drinking.
Yeah.
And that's why they do.
And you make them feel bad because you're not.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're encroaching on a space where drinking happens and you're not partaking. So,
right.
Like,
yeah.
And all you're really saying is, this works for me. I'm not trying to project myself onto you. You were projecting me onto you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think about it anymore. Like, yeah. Every feeling I ever needed to access with a drink, whether it was to calm myself down or psych myself up, like, I can get there without it now, you know? But, like, I mean, that takes time. And it's also, like, a choice. And also, maybe you can't sometimes, you know? Because you just ain't. You just don't feel like it. But, like, when I came in here, that was the first thing I thought, too. Like, oh, I wonder if there's any good NA beer in here.
I got Busch and Ace.
Oh, cool. Okay, they're making really good NAs.
And we have the Athletic NAs at Munson Brothers, or Porch Festival.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And,
I really was drinking one of those the other night.
And they're good.
They are good.
And so, like, a lot of times, like, my favorite IPA is, it's made by a company called The Chutes. And they make an NA version of it, and it's spot on.
Yeah.
Like, I can have two of them, and, like, it's like something in my mind. I was like, I'm getting booked. And I was like, no, dude.
Yeah.
It's got, like, you know, little alcohol in it. It's like, but the taste is there, and it feels good.
Yeah. I do think there's some placebo in it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, Like, oh, I'm having a beer now. Yeah. I'm relaxing.
I'm having a sugar
something's
beer.
Something's taking the edge off, you know. And I think that it's okay to have a little bit of, like, you know, a little placebo to help you with that sometimes. But if you had told me when I was 21 how much money I'd be spending on NA beer, I would have told you to take me out. I would have thought that would not be a life worth living, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, that just sounds so sad.
You know? I mean, like, even great. Here is like, I got THC infused drinks and we got non-alcoholic options.
Yeah.
And like, the Busch and A's is like one of, it's, I think if I did a top 10 list, it's number 6. And those are people in the community is like, I used to love wine. Mm-hmm. And you know, every now and then, like, I got one guy that comes to mind, he'll buy a 12 pack of those Busch and A's. And every now and then he'll come on a Saturday and he'll just stop right there at the wine and he'll just look and he's like, and go back and get his Busch and A's. And I was like, today ain't the day, huh?
That's so funny. They got to answer to you ultimately. You know, they got to go through you first.
I was like, if you put it on the counter, dude, like, you can tell me, do not sell to me, and I will. I won't do it. But
right.
It's your choice, man.
You gotta live your own life, you know.
Tell me a little bit about, like, just daily life. Of you know, just hell, just you getting here was fascinating to me. Is Austin, Texas, flew back to Nashville. Drove down I-65, boom, you're here. Yeah. And then show after this.
Yeah. It's so great. It's like the life I always wanted. I just wanted there to be...
Are you able to keep, like, your, like, yourself that busy each weekend? Or like...
No. I mean, I want to be the kind of person who's organized enough. I have had some booking agents before. And, you know... I never had a label deal or management or anything like that, but I, like, feel that I have had enough, like, I've earned my stripes, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how. It's like, I don't really think winning songwriting contests does that for you. I mean, I think it's like, how do you know you did that? Well, you just... Do you know that you did or not, you know? And so I do feel like I could, like, I feel like I should be playing more than I am, but I have not been good about the, I am very much like, let's see what, you know, like, I'm not so good at pursuing it. I'm good at waiting for Ham to call me and tell
me. I hate not playing. I didn't play on Friday night, and I thought I was going to tear my skin off my face or something. It was,
yeah.
I hate being at home by myself. When there's the Monday through Thursday type, you know, being home alone that I genuinely enjoy, and I work really hard at work, and then I go home and, you know, cook and hang out with my dogs you know, take a shower and get in bed and watch TV for a little bit. And I mean, I'm like, seriously, like 7:30 in bed, and then I'm watching TV until like 9. I'm asleep.
Wow. That's a...
And then the weekend, I'm like...
You're so together.
No, I'm not.
I'm so with it.
I'm a wreck.
But it took a long...
I have a process that I have to go through to be functional. Being at home on a Saturday night is like the most... God awful.
Oh my God, I love to be at home on a Saturday. I love it. But I think it's because I don't really know where I'm going to be when. I mean, I know a few months out, but like I've still, for the past somehow, since I was with Side Pony and we were touring, because I was touring with them a lot. Mm. But since I broke up with that band and started putting out these records, I've still managed to like be sort of on the road 2 weeks. And home 2 weeks.
That's kind of cool, though.
But I just don't know. I just really don't. Like, I can tell.
It almost sounds like you pick your battles, and you kind of like, you know, it's like, it's kind of more on your terms.
I am a feather on the wind. It's on God's terms. It's on it's on the universe's terms, or the wind's terms, I guess.
I've got a friend of mine down in Hattiesburg, and a year ago. I mean, he was breaking out. He was beginning to get, you know, playing on a national level, you know, played the entire East Coast all the way up to New York. Excited about it. And, you know, he's been married, and he's been making all these, this is his words, empty promises to his wife about this tour, this is going to be the one. This album is the one. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I got tired of feeling like a piece of shit. Mm. And he said, now, this year, and for probably for the rest, and he's got fans, he's got a following, but he says, I play the shows I want to play, and I play it with the people I want to play it mm-hmm. with, and we do all this on our terms.
Yeah. Great.
I feel like when I stopped trying to get the shows that I thought, like, were the path that I needed to be on, is when I started to get shows that I realized that I wanted to play more, if that makes any sense.
It's yeah, like
every show is better now.
I also like just like quality experiences, mm-hmm. you know? And this is one of them. Like, this is like a really cool thing, you know?
Cool,
and it's
thank
like,
you.
It didn't, you know, we put this on the calendar and I was supposed to come down yesterday, but I was in Austin yesterday, so I couldn't get here.
And dude, like, I love it. Like, I listened to Ham shot me. I don't even remember the name of the song. He's like, you can start here, but he's like, any of her songs is fine.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, I was probably, was it Going for the Bronze?
Yes.
Going for the Bronze is so good.
Oh,
that was
an old one, too.
And so, you know, I was listening to your music, and I was like, oh, this is nice. But a lot of times it's like, the less I know, the better. And I also hope the same for them. I was like, I hope you didn't research a damn thing about me or this thing. And I was like, I hope you're pleasantly pleased, you know, or yeah. surprised or
just, yeah. No,
like,
totally.
Like, yeah. I hope it's charming in the best way.
So charming, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you put the cash in my hand, too, and that was very charming. charming.
And we're taking the cash back.
That's just for show.
Just a prop, yeah.
That's prop money.
All the bills have Alan's face on it.
Wait a minute, we're getting paid?
Yeah.
You know the rules. You don't never get paid.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but it's worth mentioning, you know, that music is free, and if you're going to do it, I mean, that's the other thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how I make it work. I really don't. Like, as long as I just don't look at what's coming in, and I don't look at what's going out either. I just
it's
buy
a
what
boondoggle,
I want if I don't
though.
Look on
it's
the
a
rest tags.
It's a boondoggle. It doesn't work on any level. There's an industry
exactly.
built. There's an industry built on it that doesn't make sense. But, and there's people who aren't doing anything also, that are making more money than we are.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
And I want to figure out how they do that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because I would also do that, but
yeah,
I don't want to exploit people.
And I'll tell you, like, I mean, take this, like, nationally and internationally touring Culture Wall. And that was one of the kind of the things, like, I kind of brought up with, like, your day-to-day. And this kind of goes back to mental health, and this is, like, kind of his message. And I think he was a quarter way of into this tour. And he finally put a public statement out. It's like, look, mental health ain't great, not getting better. Mm-hmm. I got to go home. Mm-hmm. You'll be refunded if, you know, you're not losing anything. He's like, I can't. And I was like, you got to take care of yourself first, big guy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Ooh, I relate to that. Like, people who feeling like you can't. I mean, I think it's amazing when artists do that because it's still a service industry, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you're raised like I was raised, you know, in the theater to please an audience, you know, then it is hard. But I will say, when you're asking me about the day-to-day, I watched... I watched that movie F1 recently.
Okay.
The
Brad
Pitt
movie.
Yeah.
And it was so inspiring because he's like old and washed up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then he starts training again. Have you seen it?
No, I've been wanting to watch it.
Yeah. And so I like started training. But I have to like find things that inspire me like that so that I can stay. And then I start training. And what's my training? I'm going to pick up my guitar 10 minutes every day. I'm going to make sure I do my vitamins. I'm going to drink a gallon of water a day. Like, when I'm home, I try to train like mm-hmm. that. I'm going to make sure that I, like, hit the yoga mat, or I'm going to put my pen to my paper at least one time a day.
I think that's why Rocky's still my favorite movie.
Rocky rules.
Yeah. Rocky is... honestly,
I feel like
I don't know what
Rocky's whole thing is that he's, like, he's like they're all calling me a bum. They're all calling me, you know, washed up. But I'm telling you, I think I got this in me.
That's what I want. I want more movies about.
And then it's not even the goal isn't even about winning. He just wants to finish the fight.
Yeah.
So he says when he says I did it, he's sorry. I'll talk about. One day we can just do a podcast about Rocky.
Yeah. Coming up next.
Yeah. Totally. When I'm looking over here, it's because I'm listening to you. Mm. Because I like, yeah, I mean, I think that is really probably the balance, you know, is that like when you're not doing this part of it, which is like really fun and feels really good, you know, and you're like, you have your show and you're in the making the music moments, or like you're not in the studio, you know, when you're in the in-between place, which is just like the panic of life, or the monotony of life, you know, or like this other thing that I think is weird that we don't freak out about, which is that we're all gonna die.
Yeah, sure, you know,
why aren't we freaking out about that? Like, we should be.
Well, in a way, it's beautiful because you go, fucking none of this matters.
Well,
it's
not
permanent, so we're gonna die, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I was at the.
I got kids, so I'd like it to stick around a little bit. Well, you know. Past me, so.
Listen, I don't plan on having kids. I treat it like this. Like, life to me is like when you get a rental car and you put the insurance on it. I'm just going nuts with it. You
know? Your kids are going to die, too.
Yeah, I mean, but hopefully after me. Hopefully long after me. So, I just want to make sure that there's a planet for them to be on.
Well, I know. It's like. Maybe, but there's
and then they might have kids, you know what I mean? So it's like let's take care of
them, you know. So I was at the songwriter festival, and this guy plays a song about how if the sun burns up, if the sun burned up, we have 8 minutes until there was no light to Earth, and then what would happen, and then what, and ultimately like there'd be no oxygen, and then Earth would just like fall out of orbit, like sad. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking about this, and I was like. But I work so hard on my record, you know? So it's like,
yeah, sure.
It's like, what does keep you, why this? Why is this the thing purpose. That's so important? Yeah. And for me, like, why did I sacrifice basically everything for this? I mean, mainly because I'm not willing to go to a job, I think.
Well, like, back to that daily, it's like a gallon of water, yoga mat, 10 minutes of guitar, do you have to sit that out and build that calendar, that to-do list? And, like, when you first wake up, is it daunting? Or is it like, let's get it? Like, because, I mean, some people is like, you know, when I'm here, like, during business hours, and I love it, like, but when I'm here in the evenings, there's a reason, especially during the week, there's a reason why I'm here. And, you know, of course, customer comes in, wants to talk. I'll talk to you as long as you want to talk. But by the way, buddy, I have things that I've got to do, and I want to get them done in a timely manner because I don't want to sit here all night.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to hear you. But like, and so like a lot of times, like to-do lists and things like that, it stresses me the hell out. But then like once I just like get the first one done, it's like, hey, we're one down.
Yeah.
You know, I got five more to do, but hey, we just took that first step. We can do five more.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier to get going once you start. It's hard. There are definitely times when I have to kick my own ass. It helps if you listen to hip hop. I've been putting on.
What's
like,
your favorite hip hop right now?
Okay, so right now I'm listening to this girl, Caitlyn, and her name just happens to be Caitlyn, which is also my name. But she spells it, she took out the A and the I, which is.
Okay.
K-T-L-Y, or maybe she took out the A, the E, but she spells it K-T-L-Y-N, and she just, like, she sings songs about her boobs. She also sings songs about staying home meditating, and she sings songs about, like, keeping her publishing and owning her own music until she climbed to, like, 1 million views. But she also does, like, all the tits and ass shit, too. But not... she does it in her own way. Like, just in a new kind of way. And she's, like... She just makes me want to get it, you know? So I just put that in, and then I go out, and then I run around my block, which is, like, a quarter mile. You know what I mean? It's not even a mile. But I just... And I don't even run. I just sort of shuffle But I like do that, you know, and sometimes you just have to like let the pendulum swing all the way over there to get it going. But that, you know, that helps me.
Right on. What did you listen to on the drive down there?
I actually started listening to this audio book. Why did I get this on Audible? It was on some other podcast that told me to get it, but it was this girl. It's called Everything is Figure Outable. And so I was listening to that, but I don't know if I'm going to pick it back up. It was good, but it's all the stuff you know already, you know. And then I listened to that. I listened to some Caitlin.
Like a Gary Vee. Oh, gosh. What about you, man? What you been listening to?
I've been listening to a lot of the Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn duets.
Wow. I've listened to those.
There's a ton of them. I'm trying to think of the hip hop that I've been listening to recently.
Rapper's Delight.
I do like Rapper's Delight. I like Big Daddy Kane.
Have y'all ever seen the movie Everybody Wants Some? It's a good, like, it's Days of Confusion. It was the 70s, and it was high school. Everybody Wants Some was a sequel. It's done in the 80s, but it's college.
Okay.
The soundtrack to it is phenomenal. And it probably has, like, one of the greatest moments in a film that I've ever seen with Rapper's Delight.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, Days of Confused did a really good job on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And, like, anytime I see Everybody Wants Some, I was like, I just think about those guys riding in the Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
And just acting out Rapper's Delight. I was like, it's a fun scene.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Like, I loved me and my brother would watch Yo MTV Raps in the 80s. And do you remember Yo MTV Raps?
Yeah.
Fab Five Freddy?
Yeah.
Wasn't
he also featured on Fresh Prince too? Was he, or am I thinking of something else?
You're thinking of DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Who was Will Smith's DJ.
Right, that's right.
But I mean, like, all that stuff from Run DMC, Big Daddy Kane, and he's like the bridge to, like, he's in the same crew as like Biz Markie. And then you get into like gangster rap with like NWA, which is Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and Eazy-E.
Yeah.
And the late 90s with mid to late 90s with like Tupac and Biggie Smalls and
I've definitely been down that rabbit hole this year.
Busta Rhymes I like a lot. I saw Busta Rhymes.
And then after
live.
That, it was like it became scenes with hip hop. Like I was really obsessed with Atlanta Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, right. and if it was Atlanta, it was Outkast. You know, you had Andre 3000 and Big Boy.
But there's a ton of Atlanta rap.
Oh yeah. I mean, like Childish Gambino today. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
So
I love hip-hop's that cool. stuff.
Yeah.
I named my dog Busta Rhymes.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet dog.
Yeah. I forgot you met my dog right after I got him.
Busta Rhymes, and what's the other one?
Donna Summer.
All right. Caitlin.
We got one more thing. When is this coming out?
Immediately, probably Monday.
Do you want to plug your Skinny Dinner show?
Sure. Monday or Tuesday, So Thursday, I'm playing at Skinny Dennis, and I've got... So it's in Nashville, so y'all should come up. But it's a really cool venue, and I've got like the band from the record. Most not all the guys from the record, but like John Murray from the record. And most of the time I don't get to play with my band on the road because I can't afford my band on the road. Like they're gonna be like Miranda Lambert or Jessica Simpson's got my keys player right now. I'm just really psyched on the band. It's going to be such a good band. And then my friend Chris Gelbuta has put a new project together called Cowboy Candy, and he's got like the Mumford & Sons guys and Humphreys McGee and his band. So mostly this is just like a really good night for music and music geeky people and songwriting geeky people and people who like to maybe two-step to weird Flaming Lips covers. I don't know. But that's just the next thing I've got coming up that I think
very cool.
Should get the word out.
And the new record is also so fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a record out called Love Addict. And
opening track.
Opening track, yes.
For what we did here.
Yeah. Spicy Sunday morning.
Yeah. That's how she introduced it, and it was that. Well, guys, thank y'all so much. Caitlin, Ham, and Josh. Fire Camino. Thank y'all, and that's a wrap. Thank y'all.
Thank you, too.
Cool.
Good talk.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.